I don't know. I was in the prayer room tonight. I was going to preach on something different. And I don't know what it was in the prayer room over there tonight. Somebody said something. Man, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. So I believe we're going to go a different direction tonight. And I won't take too much time this evening. I do again account an honor to be here. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'm glad I got some hope. Amen.
Amen.
And that hope is in the Lord Jesus tonight. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, tonight can be the night that you get in. Amen. Tonight can be the night that it's all settled in your heart about knowing for sure if you died right now that you'd be in heaven. What a blessing tonight. I want to share a message tonight. We'll read, start verse 51 down to verse number 57 if we don't mind this scene. We might turn to a few places, but 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 57. And by the way, I get nervous sometimes, and I do feel like I forgot to say something, you know, about our ministry. And I'm sure that you probably know what it is. So if you've got a question or something, you know, just let me know, and we'll be glad to help you out. Verse 51, the Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." How about that? Amen. "And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you for the opportunity to present our burden for Blair, Nebraska. And Lord, again, if I fail to mention something, help it to come out before I leave tonight. But Lord, I want to just pray right now that you dismiss everything from our minds that would hinder us from receiving the message tonight from heaven. And Lord, I pray that you'd use me tonight, that you would give unction and add weight to the words that are being spoken tonight. Not to glorify me or Blair, Nebraska or our ministry that you've given us, but Lord, that Jesus might be preeminent among us, and that as He's the Lord of the harvest, and Lord, you know where people need to be, and you know that needy place tonight. In fact, tonight you know the neediest place on this planet where there needs to be a gospel witness. And we pray right now as we think about it that you'd call somebody to that place, that you'd send some missionary there, Lord, to preach the gospel to those people that are most needy tonight. And Lord, tonight, you know, there's a need in Blair in Nebraska, Lord. And I pray as you're meeting that need, I pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight. And most importantly tonight, if there's somebody among us not saved, I pray that they'd be saved tonight. They come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ before they leave this building tonight. And then for the Christian, oh, Father, help us tonight. Oh, encourage us. Lift us up tonight and let us sit together, Lord, in heavenly places. God, help us to enjoy the service tonight. But, Lord, most of all, speak to us. Help us for this coming week in Christ's name. Amen. Of the great truths that are described in these verses, there's a phrase which I think makes everything else coherent. And that is the phrase found in verse 51. Would you turn back with me there and just look at that verse there. The Bible says, excuse me, in the second verse that we read, it says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." I want to draw attention to that little phrase tonight, "in a moment." In a moment. That's the title of the message this evening. This phrase casts light upon the significance of the truth about the rapture. You see, we all understand that the word rapture is not found in your Bible. It comes from a Latin word which has the idea to take away or to catch away, to be the phrase caught up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which we will go there in just a little while. We find that that's where we get that word rapture, that idea of being taken out of here. The church is a called out assembly, amen? And we're going to be called out. We're going to be raptured to the Lord. We're going to be to meet the Lord in the air. And that is to be distinguished between the second coming. And you guys, I'm sure, are aware of that. I believe in a pre-trib rapture, amen? And make no apologies for that. And I am premillennial. Amen. I believe the Lord's going to come back and set up His kingdom. Amen. And I'm looking forward to that day. I've never been to the Holy Land, but I plan to take a trip then. Amen. And so I'm looking forward to that. But you know something? This phrase in a moment, it illuminates the greatness of God and His desire to rapture the church. And so it deals with something that we can understand. And that is the subject of time. You see, God is eternal, and He works outside of time. You see, that a day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Time is irrelevant to God. And by the way, He's never late. Amen. Now, some folks on this earth try to play like that, and time is irrelevant to them. Amen. While the Baptists like it, they show up late for church all the time. But, you know, God, He works outside time, you see, and it's hard for us to comprehend that, amen? But to God, it's nothing. And so He gives us a phrase that deals with time. So you and I can get begin to contemplate just how much God and how God is going to rapture us out of this old world, amen? And we find here that he works out of he's eternal. He works outside of time. He's given us time so that we can fathom spiritual matters. And we find that word "moment" there in your Bible. I mean, I don't make a lot of deal about Greek and all that stuff, but I understand, and I may be wrong. And if Pastor, you correct me if I'm wrong, but. But that word "moment" comes from a word that has the idea, or it comes from the word where we get our word "atom" from. A-T-O-M. We get our word "atom" from the same word this comes from in the original language. And so some of you guys in school know what an atom is. A-T-O-M. An atom is a scientific term. And it has the idea, it's the smallest indivisible unit. I mean, if you was to take my cell phone and get one part of that cell phone and take it down to its where you can't divide it anymore, that's an atom. Amen? Y'all, everybody with me tonight? I mean, that's a small thing. In fact, you can't see it with the naked eye. You can't do that. It's small. And so when God says here in His Word that in a moment, He's talking about how quick the rapture is going to take place. He's describing here very vividly, I mean, when He wanted to describe just how fast He was going to rapture His church, He wanted us to know that He is going to do it quickly. He's going to do it surely, and He's going to do it certainly. Amen? And this phrase tells us how fast and how powerful God is as He deals with this great and wonderful hope of the Christian. So I just want to share four simple things out of these text verses tonight on the subject in a moment, talking about the rapture. Number one, I want us to remember tonight that in a moment, we're going to hear the trumpet. Amen? In a moment, we're going to... Now, I don't think y'all quite understood what I just said a while ago. I said an atom was the smallest thing on this earth. And so when we compare that and use that in relation to time, if you were to take time and divide that thing all the way down to where you couldn't divide time down to any smaller segment, that's how fast we're going to hear that trumpet. Amen. I like that. I don't know about you, but I like that. Hey, listen, the Scripture states that we are going to hear that trumpet. The Bible says, here we go, I'll show you a mystery, verse 51, we shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. We're going to hear, brother, that trumpet. Amen. I believe that. This is not figurative. This isn't, well, we're going to hear. This ain't code language for something else. Amen. We're going to hear a trumpet, praise God. And I love to hear trumpets here. There's one trumpet sound I'm going to love to hear. Amen. And I'm yearning to hear that. In fact, that's our blessed hope. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. Only saved people are going to hear that trumpet. I like that, don't you? I think that's on the fire. Amen. I mean, after all, Jesus died for me, amen, died for you, died for sins of all the world. But, you know, not everybody's going to get saved. I wish they would, amen. I mean, they're missing out. But, you know, only saved people are going to hear that trumpet. But not lost people. Boy, that's sad, though, isn't it? You see, they have no hope. See, when I got saved, all I knew was my sins were forgiven, and I had a home in heaven, and one of these days I'm going to be there, amen. And I began to study the Bible and began to be faithful to church and learn things, and I learned about the rapture. Boy, that stirred my heart. And see, that was my blessed hope. You see, that the returning of the Lord is coming. He's going to come at any moment. And boy, you look at Israel today, and you look at the news, and man, I tell you what, I'm glad somebody's got some gumption over there. Amen. I heard today on the radio, man, one of them old boys over there, the Israelis, he said, you know, we're going to have to do something now, because if we quit now, they're going to do it again. I've been saying that for a long time. Amen. Somebody's got some brains over there. Amen. I mean, hey, now I want things to be peaceful. We ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But hey, the Prince of Peace is going to bring peace. Amen. And I'm glad that, boy, one of these days, the Lord's going to come back and take care of that whole crowd. Amen. Israel and Ishmael, they can stop that fussing. Amen. And but thank God that we're going to hear that trumpet. Now, this trumpet is going to signal to us about a great event's beginning. Now, think with me just for a moment, very quickly. We often long to hear certain sounds, don't we? The sound of a phone call. You remember how it was he's dating, amen, or courting. Some of y'all was courting, amen. But whatever, and by the way, you know, I'm not going to get off on that. If you don't like dating, listen, I won't get myself in the hole tonight, but I believe that mom and dad ought to be sure they know who their kids are going out with. Hey. Amen. And I believe that that's an important thing, and I'm not going to preach on that tonight. But you know how it was when you was coming along, especially you girls waiting for that boy to call you. Amen. You remember how it was the time the phone rang. Oh, is that him? You know how it was? And now my wife never admitted that. That's how she was to me. Amen. But you know how it is. You longed to hear that, didn't you? Every time the phone rang, oh, man, it's Aunt Linda. Or, oh, it's Grandpa. You know, your heart just breaks. Hey, but you know, one of these days we're going to hear that trumpet. Amen. Hey, what about the horn of a car on that date? Amen. He said, I'm going to come up and honk the horn. You come running. Amen. You hear the horn blow and, oh man, it's somebody else. Amen. It's not him. And then what about that doorbell? Amen. You know what I'm talking about? You don't hear that doorbell ring. Ding dong. You know? And you're like, man. And it's a neighbor coming because your cat got out or something, you know? What about the bells to switch in class, huh? You know that last 5 minutes of the class day, boy, that's rough, isn't it? It's like eternity right there, every minute. Oh, you hear the heartbeat going, you know. What about that siren? I've had the ambulance called on me before because of some things. And, I mean, you lay there and think, when are they going to get here? And all of a sudden in the distance, you can hear that siren. Oh, praise God, they're coming, you know. Now I'm going to show my carnality tonight, but I like them old westerns. Amen, the old ones. The ones that the preachers used to preach against, but now we don't preach against them anymore. We can watch. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. And that's the group. Amen. And but you know how it was. It seemed like it was always when the Indians is about ready to lick them all, you know. And then what'd you hear? Yeah, that old bugle, didn't you? The cavalry's coming. Amen. Well, one of these days, praise God, we're going to hear a trumpet. Amen. And the Lord's going to come back, and we're going to meet Him in the air. Amen. I like that. Boy, I'm getting stirred tonight. Amen. Hey, we as a child of God in the midst of our spiritual warfare have an ear set toward the heavens, and we're listening for that trumpet. Our Lord's going to remove us from this conflict as His ambassadors. Amen. Our Lord's going to remove us from the conflict as His soldiers. And our Lord is going to remove us from this conflict as He is our commander-in-chief. Hey, we are waiting on orders from headquarters. Amen. And not only that, but you remember the old Civil War soldier told his fellow soldier, he says, listen, don't drive the tent stakes too deep because we're going to head out in the morning. Amen. And boy, that's the way we ought to live our lives tonight. We have a yearning anticipation for that blessed hope. Amen. The Bible says, for the grace of God that hath appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godliness present. We're looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Well, I thank God for Titus chapter 2. Amen. I thank God for the fact that we have that blessed hope. Amen. All right. Praise God for that. But not only are we going to hear that trumpet, but in a moment, we're going to be changed. Now, I don't know about you. Now, it's getting better now. I mean, it's just like that. I mean, we're getting churning now, okay? I'm looking forward to the day when I have that change. Job talked about that till my change come. The Bible tells us Philippians chapter 3, you can turn there, you can just listen. I have them here, I'll just read them to you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For our conversations in heaven, from hence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like into His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to even to subdue all things unto Himself. Boy, there's going to be a tremendous change for the child of God. This change is going to happen so quickly. It's going to be in an atom of time. I mean, we're going to be going, I don't know how it's going to be. I hope I'm preaching when it happens. Amen. Maybe, it could happen tonight. I mean, praise God. I mean, I got to leave in the morning at 3 o'clock for Kansas City, not Kansas City. I wish it was Kansas City. Oklahoma City. Early in the morning, just me and my brother-in-law, we're going to try to get all the way out there to a meeting. And, you know, it'd be great if I wouldn't have to make that trip. Amen. I mean, it'd be a blessing. I'd just go on to bed and wake up in glory. Amen. I'd be good. But I'm going to tell you something. That change is going to happen very quickly. Now, the younger you are, that don't mean a whole lot to you. Okay? Now, I'm 32, going to be 33 this month. And I'm looking forward to that, kind of, sort of. But, the older I get, the more I look forward to that change. Amen. Now, when I was 16, I didn't care, man. All I was worried about was getting married for the rapture. Amen. All I was worried about was pastoring my first church for the rapture. Amen. That's all I was concerned about. Hey, but you know what? Hey, I'm looking forward to that change. It's going to happen, guys. I mean, do y'all believe that tonight? I mean, hey, it's going to happen in a moment. Amen. Hey, listen here. This change will take the bodies of the ones that are asleep. Those that's gone on before us, that's in the church age now, that they're asleep. And they're going to get their glorified bodies first. That's good. Amen. Old Curtis Hudson, praise God. Now, he's going to get that body before I do. Amen. And Jack Hudson and Lee Robertson and Jack Hiles and Tom Malone and Lester Roloff and Oliver B. Green and D.L. Moody and Spurgeon. And I mean, we could just keep naming them all, praise God. And your relatives, they're going to get that glorified body. Man, that's going to be good, isn't it? I'm about ready to have a spell right now. You guys realize how wonderful that's going to be?
Yes.
Huh? I mean, we've been preaching this for all these years. And Paul preached the rapture. And boy, in a moment, you guys are going to be changed. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, listen here. The Bible tells us, turn over here if you would, in 1 Thessalonians. I got to hurry, man. I'm running out of time, man. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number, let's just look at verse number 13. The Bible says there, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw are not even as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. Amen right there. For this we will say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or come before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. Then we which are alive and remain in the be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Amen. Hey, after the ones from the grave are clothed, then we which are alive will be clothed with our glorified bodies. Man, oh man. Boy, we could just sit there and think about that all night, couldn't we? Do y'all ever do that? Did y'all wake up this morning and just stop and make yourself think about the fact this could be the day He comes back? I mean, y'all realize that, don't you? He can still come back today. Now, I don't know when He's going to come back, but I know He is coming back. And I'm going to hear that trumpet sound in a moment. And in a moment, I'm going to be changed. I mean, faster than I can ever imagine, I'm going to be changed. And you're going to be changed. And you're going to have that glorified heavenly body that you've been longing for all of your Christian life. Amen. Hey, there's not going to be any more rheumatoid arthritis. There's not going to be any more leukemia. There's not going to be any more cancers. There's not going to be any more brain tumors and things. There's not going to be any more of that stuff. No more diabetes. Amen. And at the marriage supper, I can have all the banana pudding I want. Amen. And all the ice cream and pudding. Amen. All that stuff I ain't supposed to eat. But I tell you one thing, one of these days, friend, that change is going to happen. And listen, hey, I think the reason why a lot of Christians don't have joy in their heart is because we're trying to find joy and happiness in this world. But we got to be like Abraham. We ought to be looking for a city, amen, whose builder and maker is God, amen. We can have the boats and the cars and the golf clubs and the nice hunting rifles and everything else. And hey, we can have all these things that make us happy and make us feel good and give us temporal pleasure. But there's one thing that as a Christian that's going to satisfy you, and you're trying to satisfy yourself now with it. I'm not against enjoying life. I'm not preaching against that. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, listen, our hope, our citizenship is in heaven. Hey, my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm as sure for heaven as I would be there right now. Hey, Jesus saved me. I'm going to be there. But my joy ought to be encouraged, and I ought to be encouraging myself and lifting myself up in the fact that one of these days, I'm going to hear that trumpet. One of these days, I'm going to have that change, amen. And that ought to encourage you. That ought to stir your heart to know that one of these days, it's going to end, amen. Hey, cheer up, the world is going to come to an end one day, amen. It is going to happen. Hey, and for the lost person, they don't like that. You know why? Because this is the only heaven they're ever going to know unless they get saved. And by the way, this is the only hell we're ever going to know, amen. Sometimes this life can be like that. No comparison, though, but it can seem like it. But how powerful and quick this change is going to be. Oh, I could just preach on it. I got to hurry. Let me mention this very quickly. In a moment, we're going to see Jesus. Now, you know something? That's great about that trumpet thing, and that's great about that change, but you know what? Heaven's going to be heaven because of Him. Now, I was reading over the other day about that, about how He's going to be the light over there. There's no nighttime in heaven, you know, no darkness, because He's the light, and no sun. You just stop and think about that a minute. Heaven's going to be pretty, isn't it? It's going to be nice. But you know, all those things, the walls of jasper, you know, and Spurgeon talked about that one time. He said, you know, heaven's going to be great, not because of the jasper and the sardis stones and, you know, the pearl gates and street of gold. That ain't going to be making heaven heaven. Heaven's going to be heaven for us because of Jesus. It really is. I mean, because you know what? If we had what we deserve, we'd be in hell. The only reason any of us make it is because of what He did. I think about me. I mean, I can only speak for me. But I just think of me. I grew up in a broken home, and my dad and mom split up when I was five, and the way the world teaches, I should be out here robbing banks and in the jail and in prison because of how I was brought up. And I could be that way by the grace of God. And that could be me. I mean, I could be out there locked up. I got a cousin in jail tonight for killing his grandma and grandpa. Yeah. He's saved now and trying to live right. He's on drugs when he did it and different things, but I believe there's a change in this life. I believe God can save murderers. Amen. Amen. But you know something? Just to think that He let me in. Amen. And by the way, you know, we can talk about all the rewards that we can earn and the crowns and all of that. But I'm not trying to put on, preacher. You know me a little bit. You know I'm just a straight shooter. You know that much about me. And I mean what I'm about to say. If I get a crown, amen. But you know what would really make me happy, you know? If the Lord just looked me in the eye and He'd just say, Andrew, you did all right. And He'd just say that to me. Andrew, you made some mistakes along the way and you messed up a time or two, but Andrew, you did all right. Now, if I could just hear Him say He was happy with me, that'd make me feel real good, amen. And that'd be worth more than any crown He'd ever give me. And I mean that. But I tell you one thing, I'm just looking forward to seeing Him. I've been preaching about Him for a while now. I got saved when I was 16. I started preaching when I was 16, but really I surrendered the call to preach publicly when I was 17. So I've been preaching about Jesus for a long time. I've never seen him with my face, eye to eye. I've never seen him. But one of these days I'm going to see him. And I think I'm going to instantly recognize him. Huh? I mean, I believe that. Remember that story over there about Eliezer the servant went to go get a bride for Isaac? You remember that? And he told her, he said, now listen, could you just picture this? I'm reading between the lines, but on that camel journey coming home, she's going over there and all that time. She said, now tell me about him again. So he'd tell her, Isaac's like this and Isaac's like that. And he's a good man and he's a wealthy man. And could you just hear the servant talking about Isaac? That's a picture of the church and the Holy Spirit. The believer in the Holy Spirit. As we go along day by day, the Holy Spirit just reveals Jesus to us. He magnifies Jesus. He don't magnify himself. The charismatics need to learn that. Amen. And the Holy Spirit tells us, hey, this reveals more of Christ in our lives until we see our bridegroom. Amen. One of these days, we're going to see Jesus. And last of all, I'm just going to mention this and I'm going to be done. In a moment, we're going to begin eternity. Now, it's hard for us to understand and contemplate something we've never experienced, okay? And I can't explain it all, but we're going to begin eternity. In eternity, there's no time. Does that make sense? There's no time. Now, that's hard to comprehend. I mean, we're going to begin that. The older I get, the faster time gets. I get up in the morning before I realize it's noon. Before I realize it's 6 o'clock. And I'm told it gets worse than that. And it seems like nothing gets done. I mean, you can get a lot done, but you feel like you haven't got anything accomplished. Y'all ever feel like that? Well, one of these days, we'll have to worry about that. Amen? There'll be no, when we get into eternity, there'll be no more sickness anymore. Nobody's going to get pneumonia, cancer, any of that. There'll be no more sin. I hate sin. I hate it. I have a nature that loves it. But I also have a new nature that wars against it. I hate sin. Sin kills. It destroys. It contaminates everything it contacts. But when we begin eternity, we'll never have to deal with sin anymore. There will be no more suicides and murders and drug use and all that. It'll all be over with. Amen? It'll all be over with. There'll be no more heartaches. No more battles. No more unsolicited attacks by Satan in the world. No more despondent days and days of discouragement. Man, we're going to be with Him. And guys, all this is going to happen in a moment. Can y'all say that with me? In a moment. One more time. In a moment. It's all going to happen in a moment. But now, let me just say this. If you're here tonight and you're lost, there's something that you need to understand. If I understand Bible interpretation and I understand things, if you're here tonight and you've heard me in this service and we've talked about Jesus dying on the cross for our sin, was buried and rose again, and when we repent and place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saved. Amen. Yes. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Now, and I've not preached much on salvation, but here's the point I'm trying to make. If you're here tonight and you have heard me say this and talk about Jesus and you've had an opportunity to be saved tonight, and I'm sure you have had other times that God's dealt with you, but this might be your first. You've heard me, and let's say tonight the rapture took place. If I understand the Bible right, you'll never have another opportunity to be saved. You've missed it. You say, but I don't understand. What about there's going to be people saved in the tribulation time? Sure. They never heard the gospel, though. There'll be people saved during the tribulation time. You mark that down. I believe that. But if you heard the gospel tonight, you'll never, you'll believe a lie. And your door of opportunity will be gone in a moment. Just as sure as I'm looking forward to that rapture, I'm going to hear that trumpet. I'm going to be changed. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to begin eternity in a moment. That's how quickly your time will end to be saved. So I encourage you tonight, if you're here tonight and you're lost on your way to hell, Jesus loves you. He gave His life for you. He died on the cross for your sin, was buried, and rose again. He did that for you. He did that for me. In fact, I believe if you've been the only person on this earth, He had done it for you. Amen. And He wants to save you more than you realize. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the truth. Amen. He wants you to be saved. And so all you got to do is realize that you're a sinner. I mean, you just got to come. It don't take much to figure that out. Now, quit playing games. I mean, really. You know you're a sinner. And because of your sin, you deserve to go to hell. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What you earn from your sin is death. But you was on your way to hell anyhow because of your nature. So you're twice sealed there to go unless you get saved. And you need to be saved. You need to be born again, and God wants to save you. So come to Jesus while He's calling you. I know how it was when I was under conviction. Boy, something just told me I need to be saved. I'm going to go to hell. I need to be saved. I need to be saved. And boy, that was the Holy Ghost of God. It wasn't a matter of if, man. It was a matter of you are. Andrew, you need to be saved. I mean, I couldn't get away from it. Thank God for that. Amen. And you'd be saved tonight. But if you're here tonight, maybe you come in the door tonight. Maybe you've just been discouraged. I mean, you know that the economy, it ain't really, the economy's not as bad as the media makes out to be, but it ain't good either. You know, it's not good. But you know what? Irregardless of that, we can have joy in our heart. And maybe tonight you just need to hear something that would encourage you and make you think about heaven. Because you know when you go on that job tomorrow, it ain't going to be heaven. I mean, you might have a good time laughing, but it's going to be a drudgery. That's just the way it is. That's because of sin, you know. But you know, you can have a little bit of heaven. Think about these things. Tomorrow when it gets tough, just think, hey, in a moment, it could happen just like that. And that'll help you. Maybe you're here tonight and maybe you've got a burden that's really got you weighed down. Maybe something that's just really got a hold of you and it's about to bring you down. And you've heard this message tonight. That ought to encourage you. Not because I preached. Anybody could have preached this message tonight. It's the Word of God. And God's Word tells me and tells you that in a moment we're going to be changed just like that. And so that y'all draw comfort from that. So maybe y'all just come to the altar tonight and just get a hold of God and just tell Him how much you love Him and cast your care upon Him because He cares for you. Sheep were not meant to carry burdens. They were meant to follow the shepherd. And that's exactly what you and I need to do. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor, you come on tonight. If you're here tonight and you've not been saved and you'd like us to pray for you, I would love to have that opportunity tonight to pray for you and to be able to share that with the gospel with you tonight. I'd love to have that opportunity. If you're here tonight in our midst and you don't know for sure if you died right now, would you just be so kind as to slip your hand up where I could see it? And I'd be glad to pray. I'm not going to go to your seat or embarrass you, but I just like to pray. Pastor, I'm raising my hand tonight. I just don't know for sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that among us this evening? I'm looking. Anybody at all? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. What about this? Brother Shank, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. But God has spoken in my heart tonight. And I just want you to pray for me that I'd mind the Lord. Anyone like that here this evening? God has dealt with me about something tonight. And I just want you, I see that hand, anybody else. I see that hand, anybody else tonight. I see those hands. All right, anybody else? All right. Father, we love you tonight. Have your way among us. Lord, no one raised their hand about not being for sure they saved. Lord, I pray that if there is somebody here, that they'd come forward and let us be able to take the Bible and show them how they can be saved. But Lord, for those Christians tonight, Lord, encourage them. Lord, there's probably some people here just burdened. They need to come to the altar and just give that thing to you. Lord, realizing that in a moment it's all going to be over with, and they won't have to carry that burden anymore. And God, there was something raising their hand. We need to pray for them. that you've spoken to them. That, Lord, you work in their lives and help them. And whatever it is they need to do or change or maybe walk more by faith, whatever it might be, encourage those that raise their hand. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.